here, I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, that's where we'll get our text in just a moment. And while you're getting settled, we want to encourage you to take up your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins. In Matthew 16, begin reading with me at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." You know, next Lord's Day morning, we begin a gospel meeting. And perhaps you are wondering, just why are we having another meeting at the Eastside congregation? It is true we had two good meetings last year, and it's true that we have scheduled two meetings for this year. And I thought it would be good for us at this time to go back and ask the question, why another meeting? Just exactly why are we having another gospel meeting? I'm sure that that is upon the mind of some, for they say there is so much expense to this type of work. Just why are we putting forth this effort? I recognize that a lot of congregations no longer have gospel meetings. And I recognize that gospel meetings aren't as attended as they one time were. But I want to stop and just raise the question, why at Eastside are we having another gospel meeting? And I want to give you several reasons why we're having this meeting. The first thing I want to put into your mind this morning is because the very purpose of the work is to save the souls of men. The work of the church, without any question, is to put forth the effort to bring men to Christ and to save the souls of men. I think somewhere along the line, we've overlooked this in the work. It's true that teaching and taking care of our needy is a work for the church, but it is not the first and utmost work of the church. I think we all need to go back and realize the main work is to save the souls of men. What we just read in the Gospel of Matthew and the 16th chapter, you'll find that the souls of men are indeed the most precious thing that a man possesses. And therefore, we are having a gospel meeting so the gospel can be preached and souls can be saved, hearts can be touched. I believe that the proof of this can be seen in the fact that Jesus died in order for man to be saved. We see how valuable, how precious a soul is. If you take your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter, you'll find, beginning at about verse 26, that Jesus is giving them the Lord's Supper. And as He is telling them about the Lord's Supper, He's explaining to them His death. And as we partook of the Lord's Supper, as Brother Larry pointed out, we were partaking of a memorial. And Jesus died to save men from their sins. This is why He went to the cross. This is why He came forth from the grave, in order to save souls of man. And so He said this was His mission to earth. In Luke 15, He said He came to save souls. In Luke 19, He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He said this was His mission to earth, and we ought to remember that this is the work of the church. So when someone says, why are we having a gospel meeting? The reason we're having a gospel meeting is we are concerned about the souls of men. But I'll tell you, my friend, for the lost souls to hear it, they must also be invited to hear it. We must do our part so that individuals can come and hear the gospel proclaimed. But the second reason I believe we need to understand that we're having this meeting is the gospel needs to be preached. It is, of course, the work of the church to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in about verse 15, you remember that Paul said that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, here is where the Roman church and others miss the mark. They say the church is the authority. I want us to understand that that's not true. The church only upholds the truth. It is the pillar of the truth. The only way for souls to be saved is by and through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, why are you not ashamed of it? He said, because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek. It has the power to save souls, and I want us to understand the gospel needs to be preached. Open your Bible most kindly to the book of John and the first chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the first chapter, look at verses 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He told they would have the power to become sons of God. Who? Those who believed his name. Those who followed his will. Now, many will listen to the word and reject it. That has always been the case. They even listen to the Son of God and turn their back on him, and they're going to turn their back on preaching today. But I'll tell you, my beloved friend, that doesn't mean we need less preaching. What that means is we need more preaching. And I'll tell you, my friend, that when you look at the Bible, the Word of God, you'll find that one can be led to be a child of God through the preaching and teaching of the Word. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God became children of God. Thus we are called by the gospel. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, notice how he says we are called. How we are called to become children of God. He says in verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel. Underscore gospel. Do you recognize that we are called by the gospel to become children of God? To leave the world of sin. I firmly believe that people in Shelbyville, Tennessee, are starving to hear the simple gospel of Christ. And this will not be a time for a show. This won't be a time for us to show off, but a time for the church to hold up the simple truth to the people in this city. People in Shelbyville, Tennessee, need the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that brings up a third reason we're having this meeting. And I think that it's something that we overlook. I tell you, I believe we're having this meeting because Satan needs to be challenged. I'll tell you that in order to challenge the one that is responsible for so much evil in our age is a reason to have a meeting. This city is full of the work of the devil. You don't have to go to Nashville, Tennessee to see evil. You see plenty of evil right here in Shelby. And I'll tell you, my friend, what a shame it would be if we let this challenge go without attention. It will not be an easy challenge. It's not an easy opponent by any means. He's won some great battles over some great people in his day. You see Judas falling. You see Demas falling. But I'll tell you, my friend, let us not forget to meet the challenge. Have you ever thought that when we come together, that we are opposing the evil one? That when we assemble in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, we are saying we oppose the devil? That we stand with God? That we live for God? That we love God? And I'll tell you, my friend, Satan needs to be challenged. But that brings up a fourth thing. The faith of the saints need to be strengthened. We're having this meeting because the saints need to be strengthened. And this will be an excellent time for the faith of the saints of God to be built up. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you will, notice with me verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" Notice this is a time for reflection, to be reminded of old truths and to be reminded that we believe and obey the very things that was taught in the early church, in the early days of Christianity. In Romans 10:17, he said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That is the way our faith is to be built up. So when the devil comes, in 1 Peter 5:8, seeking to devour us, we'll be able to withstand him. We'll be able to look at him and know his devices and not let him to take advantage of us. This will not be a meeting to entertain. This will not be a meeting that will build up people in a physical sense. But the purpose of this meeting is to make them stronger in a spiritual sense. And truly, you will admit, we need this. Can anyone in this audience honestly say they could not use a little more edification? Can anyone here honestly say that they are above temptation? Can any of us honestly say that we know enough about God's Word that we cannot be tempted? I'll tell you, my friend, every one of us can use more. But that brings up something else. This meeting we're going to have is an opportunity to show whose side you're on. There will be many things that will desire your time and attention during this week. But you know, the dates have been well advertised, all arrangements have been made, and this will present a time for you to show whose side you're on. I am reminded of what Cornelius said in Acts 10:33. "We are here to hear all the things commanded thee of God." We're here. Will you be on the Lord's side during this effort? Now, time will tell. But you know something? I realize gospel meetings don't have the power they once had in attracting people because they have so many other things to entertain. But if one person was converted by this effort, it would be worth every penny. And even if not one person is converted, but the saints are edified, it's worth the effort. Mark's going to do his part. But there's only so much Mark can do. You and I have opportunities to do good. I hear people say, "You know, preacher, we just don't have much opportunities." Here's an opportunity for you. To be here and to bring somebody. I think you can now see why we're having another meeting. The elders are to be commended for making such plans. And what we need to do is our part. And have a great meeting. You know, sometimes when I go to a meeting, you can go in and you can tell if the place had prepared for a meeting. And there's some places you go, and by the end of the third day, you can just tell they have not prepared. Some places prepare greatly. And I'll tell you something. They get something out of the meeting. You only get out of something what you're willing to put into it. What are we willing to put into the work of the Lord? It's time for our meeting. Let us do our part. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you know that you don't have to wait to the meeting. That the very purpose of the preaching is to save the soul of man. And if you know you're a sinner and you need to be baptized into Christ, our prayer this morning is that by the grace of God you would come forward and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God and be a child of God and live your life serving God so one day you can live with God. If you need to make your life right, we pray you come as together we stand.